Okay, set apart, we're going to be talking about holiness revealed. Holiness revealed. How many here have ever talked to someone, or perhaps you were someone like this yourself, that you, when you thought about God, you thought, God and I are pretty good mates. We kind of get along because the God that I imagine, he's a lot like me. He thinks like me. He likes what I like. He enjoys the foods I enjoy. He wants me to have a great life, and he wants me to be blessed. And the God that I have, really, he thinks a lot like me. How many ever went through a thing like that where you kind of thought like that, or had the idea that, well, maybe God is my little, you know, I just rubbed the Bible three times. He's my magic genie. He comes out, gives me what I want. I, back in the early days when I was a teenager, I kind of thought God was for me, and God was there to kind of be my valet or my butler, and that God was going to take care of me and do it the way I wanted to do it. Now, maybe one or two of you thought that way, but I'm convinced that the majority of North Americans think that way. In fact, one time I was speaking with a student at the University of Florida, and I asked him, I said, would you give me your definition of what you think God is like? And he went to church. He was what you would call a nominal Christian. And he hummed and hawed about a little bit. And finally he said, you know what? God wants me to have a good time while I'm at college. God wants me to experience things I won't be able to experience once I get married and once I settle down. He went on this long diatribe of things that any selfish 18-year-old would want to do who didn't even know God. And I said, so that's your God, is it? He goes, yeah. I said, you know what? The God you serve sounds a lot like you. Because you like doing those things. The God you serve, and he kept using this personal pronoun like, my God, the God I serve, the God I believe in. And he went through this thing. I said, you know, the God you serve, he sounds a lot like you. He wants to do the things you want to do. And I said, you know why God looks like you and sounds like you and has the same likes and dislikes that you have? He goes, why? I said, because your God is you. You are your own God. Can I tell you what true theology, true biblical theology, doesn't start with man and what we want or what we like or dislike. It always starts with God first. What is God like? What does God want? What does God expect from you and I? That's true biblical theology. And unfortunately, in the 21st century church, we have let humanism and secular thinking into our life, like God wants to bless me and he has a wonderful plan for my life. Yeah, he does want to bless you and he does have a wonderful plan for your life, but he wants you to die to yourself first. And if we don't want to hear that, we want to hear the God I serve has my best interests at heart, and they really coincide with what I want to do. Being set apart means you have to be different than the world. Being set apart means you can't do what people who hate God and say there is no God do and be okay with it. Being set apart means you are, the word is, consecrated, sanctified to do something unique and special that you couldn't do with your own abilities or your own volition. It takes a supernatural infusion from heaven to change you from the depraved nature that we all have when we're born with this physical body to being set apart and sanctified and consecrated to God. Our first scripture is 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. I'm going to read it in its entirety to you. It says here, Peter writing, he says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. How many here remember when you were a kid and you were playing pickup basketball or football? How many liked it when they picked your name? Like, okay, you're on our team. How many remember the time when you didn't get picked? Okay, we'll pray for inner healing after the service. But it always felt good when the good players picked you to play on their team. Can I tell you what? God is saying this. He says, I'm picking you. You are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people set apart for God's own possession. Wow, God is getting really intimate here. In fact, some people would say this is romantic talk here. When I go out with my wife, you know what I tell her? I say, honey, you are my own special possession. Everything gets really nice then when I start talking like that. Can I tell you what? God says the same thing about you and I. Is that, hey, I chose you. You are special. You are not like everybody else, and I have chosen you from the foundations of the earth, and I want you to know me. I want you to walk with me. I want you to be my own possession. Think about it. The God of the universe wants you to be friends with him. He desires you and I to be his friends so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness. He called you and I out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you were once not a people. You were once alienated. You were once estranged. You were once foreigners, but now you are a people. And not only are you a people with a destiny, you are a people with the greatest destiny, because the God of the universe has selected you out of all the nations of the world and said, you'll be my people. You'll be my chosen ones. I pick you. The word consecration, next slide, please. It means to be set apart as holy or sacred, reserved exclusively for God. Can you tell you what? When I got saved, when I got born again, when I came under lordship, when I understood who God was and who I really was, I realized I wasn't on earth for God to please me. I was on earth to please God. I was on earth to do God's bidding. And before I'd done what I wanted to do, I followed the people of the world. I followed the partiers. I followed all the people who said, do this and you'll be happy. I did all those things and I was unhappy. And I said, God, if you'll have me, I'm yours. And I realized I have to set myself apart. So guess what I did? I stopped going to parties. I stopped dating. I didn't date. I stopped hanging out with the people who were pulling me into darkness. I had to set myself apart. Can I tell you something? If you get serious with God, you won't have to worry about your friends. They will drop you. The ones who don't really want you to walk with God, they will drop you like a bad habit. Some of you already found that out. Just start walking in the light. You know why? We're going to get into it. Because they love darkness. And you can't mix light and darkness. To consecrate means to be set apart, to be sanctified, to be reserved exclusively for God's service. Colossians 1, 11 through 14 says this. We're laying the foundation because I'm gonna level off and teach in just a moment, but I wanted you to get these scriptures in your heart so you'll know where we're going. But you be strengthened with all power. This is Paul the Apostle writing. According to his glorious might, for the attainment of all perseverance and patience, joyously giving thanks to God the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. For he has rescued us from the domain of darkness. There it is again. Out of darkness into light. Out of desperation into hope. Out of darkness into God's perfect light. He's qualified us to share with that inheritance. From the domain of darkness and has transferred into his kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sin. Colossians 1:17, continuing. He, this God we're talking about, is before all things. And in him all things hold together. He is the head and the body of the church. He is the beginning. He's the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have preeminence in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness of deity to dwell in him, to reconcile all things to himself, whether things on earth or in heaven, having made peace through his blood by the cross. The way that God did it is he sacrificed his blood himself. He brought blood to redeem, to sanctify us so we could be children of light and stand in his presence. That's always been God's plan. I want a holy people. I want a sanctified people. I want a precious possession who will be my people and I will be their God. And not only do I want them, I want them to be in relationship with me and I want them to want me. Have you ever tried to date somebody that didn't like you? Don't raise your hand. Please don't. How many know when you if you think you like somebody, or when you fall in love, of course, people fall in love when they're 14 and 16 and 12, and you know, you fall in love and they fall out of love again, of course, which is good. But the point is, when you think you like somebody and you write them a text or a note or something like that, or send them flowers, and they don't respond, but then they send a little text back saying, "I like you as a friend." You might as well put a knife in my back and turn it, you know. You know, why? Because what they're saying is, no, thank you. I don't really want to be around you. In fact, I don't even know who you are. Who the heck are you? And I don't want to see you, and don't text me anymore. You know, we could probably pray right now. Anyway, we won't. But the point is, you understand that people can respond that way, and God could respond that way to us, but he doesn't. He does the opposite. He actually is reconciling broken people. He's wanting to sanctify us and bring us into his presence. Colossians 1, 17 and 20. Peace came through the blood of the cross. Peace came through the blood of the cross. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. This is probably the greatest treatise of God's nature in the New Testament, in my humble estimation. But I want to read a portion of the scripture because it really sets the groundwork for what God wants to do in and through us as we walk with him and walk in his light. Verse 1. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen, what our eyes have looked at, and what we've touched with our own hand concerning the word of life. This is John the Apostle. This is 90 AD. He is stranded as a criminal and an outcast on this little island in the Mediterranean called Patmos. He's there, an enemy of the state, excommunicated by his Jewish brethren, and he's saying what he's talked about and what he's seen, what he's handled with his own hand. He says, "We're here, and I'm telling you, I've seen it. I've talked about it. I've heard it. I've touched it with my own hands, this thing called the Word of Life. And it's not just words written on a page. This is a real man. I walked with him. I saw him crucified. I saw him raise the dead. I saw him heal the leper. It's real. I walked with him. I talked with him. And what I write to you, I proclaim to you, this is the message." Ladies and gentlemen, the message today is this, that there are some people that have been eyewitnesses that are telling us explicitly and concretely who God is and what his nature is all about. John is that man. He said, "I want to proclaim to you the word of life. And the word was manifested, and we have seen it. We've testified, and we proclaim the eternal life, which is with the Father and manifested to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you may have fellowship with us. Indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write so that you may have joy and be made complete." Notice what he's saying here. He's saying, look, I'm suffering for this belief in Jesus, this thing called Christianity, but I've touched him. I've walked with him. I've seen the miracles. I can tell you firsthand, I'm an eyewitness what he's like, and he is the life. The life. You see these advertisements where they say go on this cruise to the Caribbean or go to Palm Springs, or go to Hawaii and enjoy the life. Can I tell you what? I've had the opportunity with my wife to go to some of those places. They're wonderful and they're great. They cost a lot of money. But can I tell you something, sweetheart? They are not the life. John is telling us, I've seen the life. I've walked with it. I've touched him. I've witnessed his power. I've witnessed his exposure to humanity. He changes everything. He is the life. Now, the reason they put John on the Isle of Patmos is because they couldn't control him on the continent when he was preaching in all the, you know, Asia Minor and all throughout Galatia and Ephesus and all that region. So they tried to kill him by putting him in a cauldron of boiling oil. They actually tried to make a martyr of him. The problem was John's oil on the inside was hotter than the oil they tried to boil him in. They couldn't kill him. They just said, look, just put him on a desert island in the Mediterranean. Maybe we'll be rid of him. And he's still preaching from this. He's writing the book of Revelations to us. He said, I've seen him, I've touched him, the life. This is the life. And this is the message. What is the message? That God is light. This is the message we heard from him. And we announce it to you. That God is light. And in him there is no darkness at all. God is light. If you want to know what God's like, he's not like me. He's not like you. He's not like anybody you've met. He is absolute light. There is no darkness at all. When something is totally pure, has no dimension or no category of some other substance, we call it absolute. God is absolute light. He lives in absolute light. He is the life. And this is the message we proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in the darkness, you are a liar and the truth's not with you. I like the way John, he gets right to the point. If you say you're walking in this absolute light, like you proclaim, you're not going to be slipping and dipping in the shadows, sweetheart. You're going to be walking in the light. If you're in the darkness and say you love Jesus, you're a liar and the truth's not in you. Talk about getting to the point. He's just saying, look, this is the God. I walked with him. I touched him. I saw him. He is light. And if you're going to have fellowship with him, you can't fake it. You have to walk in the light as he is in the light. And it's an absolute light. It's not the light your grandmother had. It's not the light some preacher had on cable TV. It's the light of Almighty God that's totally pure and unadulterated. Walking in the light. As he is in his light. This is the message. Then he goes on to say that if we have fellowship with him, then we can have fellowship with one another. You know why most people don't have good friends in church? It's because their relationship with God isn't right. And they're gossiping and talking bad about brothers and sisters they shouldn't be. They should be, get out of the shadows and say, God, let me spend time with you so I can love these people who are not so lovable. You ever met a Christian that wasn't so lovable? Don't raise your hand. Say, I'm sitting right next to him, Pastor. No. Don't say that. But we all have. You know why? The way you love people is you have to walk in God's light. Why? Because God first loved us when we were totally in darkness. If God can do it for us, by his grace, we can do it for others. We have fellowship with him. Yet if we walk in the darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, what kind of light is it? Absolute. Say absolute. If we walk in the absolute light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all of our sins. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not with us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Notice what he says here. If we say that we don't really need a Savior, I'm doing all right without God, I'm not really a sinner, the Bible says we're deceived and we're liars. But if we walk in the light as he's in the light, and then we confess our sins once the light exposes our sins, it says we can have fellowship with him. But what's beautiful, we can have fellowship with other people too who were once our enemies. What a beautiful promise. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, chapter 2, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. I'm writing these things to you so you may not sin. I'm writing these things to you because The God we serve is a God of light. If you walk with him like you say you want to walk with him, you're going to walk in absolute light. You're not going to have time to scamper around and trip over the darkness. You're going to be walking in the light. So I'm writing these things to you because you say you don't want to sin. You don't have to sin. There's a power greater than temptation. There's a power greater than darkness and depravity. It's called the absolute light of a holy, sanctifying God. You know what gives me power? It's not my willpower. I'm making a decision. No, I'm not that strong. You know what gives me strength? The fact that I know there's a God greater than my decision-making power that resides in me. There's something greater outside of my own personal accolades or my own personal will to do something. It's called God's Holy Spirit. And if we walk in the light, as he's in the light, not only does it purify us, he keeps us pure. And we walk in the light. Can I tell you something? There is power in purity. Let me say that. There's power in purity. Let me tell you, you want to preach to somebody about getting free from pornography or lust, you better have power in your thought life. You better have purity in your thought life. The number one thing that keeps me pure from looking at stuff on the internet, because I'm as tempted as anybody else, it's the fear of God and the fear of Renee. There are things that... There are things that keep me walking pure. I fear God. How many know if God is watching you, which he is, how many know human behavior changes drastically when it's being observed? How many know that? God's always watching, sweetheart. He's there. He's there. Even if your mother, your father, your best friend, your pastor is not there, God is there. And he says, if you walk in the light, you can be free. Just stay in the light. Don't think about the darkness. Don't think about compromising. Walk in the light. This is my nature. This is what it means to be set apart. Do you want to be set apart? Or do you want to be a hypocrite? Or do you want to be a nominal Christian that makes no impact in the world? Or do you want to be a world changer that spreads the light and preaches the truth and your words have power because there's purity in your heart because absolute light has been shed there? You have a choice. I have a choice. Set yourself apart. You cannot fulfill God's plan for your life and live like the world. You can't do it. If you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. There's too many Christians that are trying to accommodate the world and change this scripture to somehow think that we're accommodating and love. Well, I just love everybody. Yet Jesus loves everybody too, and he gave them a way to realize that love by accepting his sacrifice. Any other way is false. It's a counterfeit. That's not in my notes, but I'm glad I said it. Going back to John 1. He is this Jesus who is, we walked with, we touched him. I'm an eyewitness of what he did and what he said. He is before all things. He preceded any man. The creation of the universe. He is God. He became for all things. For what we've heard and proclaimed, we also proclaim to you, so that you may have fellowship with him. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write so that your joy may be made complete. Let's talk a little bit about God's nature. I've been in some really hot places, geographically speaking, and emotionally speaking as well. I've been in a place where it was so hot, I didn't think I could take another step. That was on a football field in Tennessee in August back in 1980 on AstroTurf, where we had 125 degrees heat index and people full pads practicing, getting ready for our first game. People were falling like flies from dehydration and heat exhaustion. And you could look out on the turf and you could see, you ever seen those hot roads in the south where the heat waves are coming up in the summer and it looks like a mirage, there's water over there. You know, the guys are all like, is that Gatorade? Or, yeah. You know, it's heat, you know, it was just look up. The heat was so, it was just emanating, radiating off the surface of the turf. And I thought, this has got to be the hottest place in the world. If I can just make it through today's practice, I'll make the team and I won't lose my scholarship. But people, it was just so hot. I think this has got to be the hottest place in the world. Then I had a chance to go to a place called Tucson, Arizona. The Sonoran Desert. It is so hot. Even the cactus try to leave to come to Florida from there. That's how bad it is. It was so hot. I remember going out. It was like, they said, look, you can't go out past 10 o'clock in the morning. And three, you don't go out. Because it's like the desert out there is just, it's 125 degrees. There's no humidity. But you'll bake. In fact, one guy, he was baking a potato to show me how hot it was. And I took his word for it. Then I had a chance to fly to Africa one time, and I knew Africa was hot. But they took me from Johannesburg, South Africa, up to a place called Namibia. Windhoek, Namibia, which is a country just a little north of South Africa, and it was the hottest place I'd ever been in my entire life. And I thought, looking up at the sun in this Namibian desert, I'm thinking, this has got to be so hot. The sun is shining. The heat of the sun's got, this has got to be ultimate, absolute heat, absolute light, absolute hot. And the Lord spoke to me, he said, son, this isn't even close. This isn't even close. I remember, I said, well, the sun's the hottest thing we know in the universe. And the Lord just started talking. He says, but yeah, even the sun, which you think is absolute heat, absolute light, it has something called dark spots. The sun, with all of its radiation and quantum reactions going on with helium and hydrogen being translated into light and energy, with all that happening, it's not even absolute. Not even close to absolute. Whenever we see Jesus in the Bible, or whenever we see God in the Bible, whenever man stands in front of God, remember Moses at the burning bush? He had to fall on his face and hide his eyes because the luminous light of God was so great he couldn't stand it. And Moses was a righteous man by faith. I'm reminded of the story in Isaiah where Isaiah, who was a prophet of God, a mighty prophet of God, walked with God, holy. He said he was praying one day and he had a vision and he was translated from earth to heaven and he saw this heavenly host and it was illuminated and so bright. And he said there were angels flying around called seraphim that had six wings. He said these angels flew around and all they sang all day long was holy, holy, holy. The Lord is full of God's glory. The earth is full of God's glory and he's holy and he's pure. And what was interesting, I saw that Isaiah said that with two wings they flew, with two wings they covered their feet, which was to cover the nakedness and the fallenness of humanity, and with two they covered their eyes. Even angels cannot look upon the majesty and absolute light of Almighty God. I was at a university talking to a young man and he was like, he was pretty smart. He was actually University of Florida, but we forgive him. And he was saying, you know, I think God's this way. I think God's this way. And I'm listening to him. And he says, you know, in fact, I've got a bone to pick with God. What? You know, why would God allow this to happen? And I prayed this prayer and it didn't happen. And God let me down. And he said, when I stand before God, I'm going to chat with God about some of the things he's disappointed me about. I looked at him and I said, look, that conversation is not going to last very long. I said, the moment you're in his presence, you're going to hit the ground at 186,000 miles per second. Absolute light. Absolute pure. Absolute holy. John said, I've seen it. I've walked with him. I touched him. It's inconceivable how holy he is. The greatest man in this room will bow before his majesty. Why? Because he's absolute light. He is holy. His nature is perfect. And nobody's going to be picking any bones. Everyone's going to be worshiping him. When you see Moses, when you see all the great patriarchs of the Old Testament, Matthew, James and John, when they went with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, and Jesus, almost like Superman, pulls back the veil of his flesh and sees the JC on his chest, and the light comes out. They hit the ground, begging and pleading, saying, God, take us from here. We'll build three altars here for you. And Jesus said, no, you missed the point. You were in God's presence, holy. No darkness, absolute light. This is the God that calls you and I, ladies and gentlemen. He's not a God who says, would you consider it? He's saying, this is who I am. And if you be with my presence, you're going to have to deal with my characteristics. That I am absolute light. In me, there is no darkness at all. If you want to have fellowship with me, you're going to have to walk in that light. If you want to have fellowship with me, you can't dabble in the darkness. You can't play with the shadows. You can't somehow make some religious conception that I'm going to be this way. He says, if you walk in the light, that's a conditional conjunction. If you walk in the light, if you have fellowship with me and the blood of Jesus cleanses you from all your sins. 1 John 2, 1 and 2 says this, children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. If anyone sins, if you happen to sin, not if you plan to sin, but if you happen to sin, we have an advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is radically different than 21st century Christianity, where God loves you, he has a wonderful plan for your life, and just pray a prayer, and by faith, you'll make it to heaven. And yeah, if you don't have to give up this, and just ask God to forgive you, and God, forgive me now, and I'm going to do it again next week, and forgive me this weekend, because I'm going to do it again next week. Why? Because I've got this kind of tooth fairy religion where I just rub the Bible and forgiveness comes down. I don't have to change my lifestyle. I don't have to walk in the light. I just have to believe maybe there's a loving God who will give his grace no matter what I do in this physical body. You're going to be very surprised on the day of judgment if that's your philosophy, if that's your theology. I beg you, I warn you, read this Bible. Get around people who've touched the light, the absolute, forgiving, fellowshipping light that God wants you to have, wants me to have. We have an advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins. And not only for ours, but for all the whole world. It's not just for those who believe in him, but he wants to forgive everyone. He is the propitiation. He is the one who sets us apart. He is the sanctifier, ladies and gentlemen. And we do it by walking in light. Do you want to have fellowship with God? Most of us say, yeah. You're going to have to walk in his light. If, conditional conjunction, if you walk in the light as he is in the light, then you'll have fellowship with God, and the blood of Jesus will cleanse you from all your sins. We have a choice, don't we? We can say, God, thank you for setting me apart. I'm going to walk in your light. I'm not going to compromise and dabble in the darkness. I'm not going to slip into the shadows when it's convenient or my non-Christian friends invite me out to a party. I'm going to be set apart. I'm going to be sanctified. I'm going to be consecrated for something greater than living for my own carnal flesh so that I can make a difference in my life and everyone who sees the light coming through me because I'm walking in your absolute light. We have a choice today, ladies and gentlemen. We can be set apart. What does it mean to be set apart? Number one, it means that we understand the true nature of God. God is not just a big Santa Claus up in heaven that gives us what we want. God is light. He dwells in unapproachable, absolute light. Number two, if we walk in the light, we can have fellowship with him and with other people. I don't know about you, but I want to get to know God, because if you're going to heaven, you better get to know him, because we're going to be there for a long time. If we confess our sins, when we do sin, not because we're going to sin over and over again, habitual, but if we happen to stumble, if we confess, he is faithful and righteous to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Isn't that good news? That we don't have to be perfect, because we can't be perfect, but if we walk in the perfect light, his perfection will come and help and eliminate our imperfections. What a great promise. If anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I say what an advocate does? An advocate is on your side. He is for you. He helps embellish your potential to the person who's offended with you. He helps put away the negativity. He helps forget the faults of the past so that there can be a restoration, a reconciliation. He is an advocate. Jesus is our advocate. And this is the simple message, that God is light. If you're going to walk with him, you're going to have to walk in the light. If you say you haven't sinned, you're still living in darkness. But if you walk in the light, you can have fellowship, not just with Jesus, but with people that you would never, ever think you could have fellowship with. You know, there are people in this room that I would never pick with my own natural inclinations, but God put me here with them. They don't look like me. They're different color than me. They're from a different country, but I love them. Why? Because they're walking in the light. They're walking in the light, and we have fellowship. Why? Because of skin color or because of economics? No, because we're brothers and sisters, because Jesus saved us all. That's the message the world needs to hear, not equity, diversity, inclusion. Walk in the light. Walk in the light. You'll love your black brothers. You'll love your brown sisters. You'll love these people. They may not be like you, but God has put them here. And if you walk in the light, there's a sweet thing called fellowship with God that transcends all the other differences that this world tries to shove in our faces. God is light. If you're going to walk with him, you're going to have to walk in the light. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Rachel, could you come play, please? As your heads are down, your eyes are closed, I'm just going to ask you a simple question. Are you walking in the light? It's either a yes or a no. You know. If you've been walking in the light, you it's like, wow, this is wonderful. It's not always easy, but man, I tell you what, my life has changed, and I feel the power of God's Spirit on my life, whether I'm in church or not. Have you kind of dabbled, or have you just said, well, I'm mostly in the light, Pastor Ken, but I've got one foot on the weekends particularly. I got one foot dabbling over here in the shadows. And I'm kind of doing things that maybe I don't want everyone to know about, but I still love the Lord. Some of you others are saying, look, there's almost a schizophrenia about me. I say the right things, and in my heart I want to walk in the light, but during the week I'm pulled into the darkness head first. This isn't right. If you're walking in the light, God bless you. Keep walking in it. Keep reading his word. Keep putting his kingdom first. You're going to continue in the light. If you're skipping around in the shadows, you need to pray. If you're being pulled head first into the darkness, you need to pray. And let me tell you something. He said, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins... There's that conjunctive clause again, if. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous. He is faithful and righteous. The real issue, the onus is, will you? If you do this, I will respond in like kind. I will forgive. I will put light in your heart where there was once darkness. I will put joy in your heart where there was dread and fear and shame. If we repent, if we turn, if we walk in the light, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sins. There's a condition here. There's a big IF in front of you. Will you walk in the light? Let me say something else. When you confess your sins to Jesus, that's not when he finds out about them. That's when you get rid of them. We've got, everybody in here's got things that you don't tell other people. Let me tell you something. God knows everything about you, good, the bad, the ugly, and he still loves you. When you confess your sins, there's freedom. You come to the light. That's when you get rid of that guilt and that shame, that condemnation that the devil heaps on you. You're here today and you say, Pastor Ken, there's shadows that I'm fighting. There's things that are still dark that try to have power over me. I need to be set free. You're here and you're saying, there are times where I go headlong back into the darkness and I need deliverance. I need to be set free. I'm not walking in the light consistently. And this message is for me. You want me to walk with you, God. I'm going to have to do it by walking in the light. If you're here and you fit those last two categories, you're shifting around in the shadows or you're being pulled headlong into the darkness, I want you to pray with me right where you're sitting. pray with me right where you're sitting. And only if you mean this. If you don't mean it, don't play games. We're not here to play church. If you mean it, you want to be serious with God. God, I want to be in your light. I want to be a man of God. I want to be a woman of God. No more playing games. No more playing church. No more faking the funk. I want to be the real deal. If that's you, this is your prayer. If that's not what you want, please do not pray. Just sit there. But if that's what you want, pray this prayer. Say, Jesus, I repent. I know that you are absolute light. And for me to be your son, your daughter, to be your child, I must walk in that same light. Forgive me for being enticed by the darkness. Forgive me for letting the shadows appeal to me when I knew better. And Lord, by your grace, I pray that the blood of the cross would touch my heart. Lord, I'm not afraid of what people think anymore. I'm afraid of what you think. Let your light come into my heart. Let your light change me. If you don't change me, God, I will not change. If your light doesn't come into my darkness and the dark crevices of my heart, I'll still be in darkness. I need your light. Touch my heart, Lord. Touch my life. I want to walk in your light. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing our prayers. Thank you, Lord, for showing us your nature. I want everyone with their heads down and eyes closed to remain with their head down and eyes closed. If you prayed one of those two prayers with me, to come out of the darkness or to quit skipping around in the shadows, I want you to stand up right now. I want you to stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Coming to the light is great. You know what? Because you're saying, God, I don't care who knows about it. You already know, and you're the most important one. This is my chance to get set free. This is my chance to get set free. Forget my stupid reputation. I don't care who knows. Because everybody in here has done bad things. The real issue, will you stand up and come to the light to get help? Will you walk in the light and have fellowship with him? If that's you, you need to stand up. Don't wait. Stand up again. Stand up. Yeah. All those people are standing. If you really meant the prayer you prayed and you're willing to go the whole 10 yards. This isn't just a Sunday morning prayer. This is, God, I'm yours. The rest of my life, I'm going to be consecrated. I'm setting myself apart to be a man of God, to be a woman of God. Even if I'm a doctor, an engineer, a mechanic, a homemaker, I'm your homemaker. I'm your engineer from this point on. I'm being set apart. I'm being consecrated for that. If that's what you prayed, and that's why you're standing, I want you now to walk to the front up here. We're going to pray. If you don't mean it, just please sit down. If you do mean it, come up here, please. I'm coming out of the shadows. I'm coming out of the darkness. No more playing games. No more church. I want to be a man of God. I want to walk in the light. Come on. Come on. I want the prayer team to come on up and just start laying hands on people. The prayer team and elders, please come and stand with us. I want you to bow your head. I want you to pray this from your heart. Say, Jesus, you're the only answer. It's not more money. It's not a new experience. It's not a new relationship. It's my relationship with you. Help me to see the truth. Thank you for showing me the light. Thank you for helping me acknowledge my shortcomings so I can be free. I need you, Jesus. You're my only hope. This is my last hope. If you don't save me, I won't be saved. I'm trusting you, God. I'm coming to the light of your truth. Because you said if I come and confess, that you would set me free. Set me free now, God. And just begin to tell him under your breath what the sin is, what the compromise is, what the darkness is. If it's drinking, if it's pornography, if it's an illicit relationship, if it's bitterness, just tell him, say, God, forgive me for being bitter. Forgive me for being angry with my parents. Forgive me for pornography. Forgive me for this sexual encounter. Forgive me for these things that I'm doing that I know are dark. Lord, let me walk in the light as you're in the light. Just tell him. You have an advocate with the Father. If you confess your sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive you of all your sins and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Thank God. Lord, thank you for your light. Thank you for your truth. Let's all stand together, congregation. Thank you for your light. Thank you for your truth. Lord, I pray we would all be set apart to be the people of God you call us to be. Father, let us not play church any longer. Let us not play religion. Lord, let us play the game the way you said, walking in your light, walking in your power, walking in your purity. We give you praise and we give you glory. We thank you for what you're doing here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you all. Let's give God